It's Wednesday, February 1st, 2023, and this is Markets Daily from CoinDesk. I'm Adam B. Levine, here again with Adrian Blust for your daily news roundup. On today's show, we're talking Bitcoin, trustlessness, the latest headlines, and more. And just a reminder, CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. Good morning, folks. Today's show marks our 1,000th episode. We'll jump right into your daily update, but stay tuned at the end of the show where we'll reflect for a moment on the journey so far. Plus, look out for a bonus episode on the feed for a special gift to you. Bitcoin, Ether, and other top-traded tokens are strangely boring in moderate morning action, showing more green than red. But before we get into that, let's take a look at the month that was. The two largest digital assets wrapped up a monumental January, beating expectations by posting double-digit gains, Bitcoin up by 40% and Ether by 32%. The first month of 2023 also proved to be the season of altcoins, with Cardano up 56%, Dogecoin up 37%, Solana up a whopping 140%, and Avalanche up 82%. But Bitcoin's ascent that began 1 month ago has hit a wall this week, with upward momentum running out of steam near key technical resistance. And a similar pattern has emerged in Hong Kong's benchmark equity index, the Hang Seng. All of that has at least one observer mulling the possibility of a renewed risk aversion across all corners of the financial market. Quote, "Failures in Bitcoin and Hang Seng are technical warning signs that these early 2022 halcyon vibes may not last all year," Brent Donnelly, trader and president of Spectra Markets, said in a note sent to clients late Monday. Donnelly's comments are evidence of Bitcoin's strengthening reputation as an advanced indicator of risk sentiment among seasoned traders. In the past, the world's largest cryptocurrency has led major tops and bottoms in the S&P 500 by several weeks. Bitcoin slipped to as low as $15,700 back in November as the crypto market dealt with the insolvency of crypto exchange FTX and bearish sentiment in global stock markets. Prices mostly ranged between $15,700 and $17,500 until the first week of 2023. The cryptocurrency has surged since, alongside growth in Ether, decentralized finance or DeFi markets, and broader equity trading. Before retreating, Bitcoin reached five-month highs above $23,500 earlier this week as traders took profits. But some analysts say that while overall market sentiment cannot be called bullish just yet, the recent price and on-chain data suggest that Bitcoin could be in the later stages of a bear market. Quote, "Although current Bitcoin performance suggests the bottom might already be in, we are not out of treacherous waters yet, as we have not yet seen a full year pass since the 2022 bear market rally," analyst at crypto exchange Bitfinex said in a markets note this week. Continuing, early 2020, before the third Bitcoin rally of eight green candles, was a time of massive volatility amongst bearish macro conditions. This might be what we're experiencing now in the first and second quarters of 2023, end quote. The note cited data from Glassnode that suggested short-term holders of Bitcoin selling now at profit, while long-term holders continue to hold massive spot positions, a move that, quote, "looks increasingly bullish for Bitcoin," end quote. However, bigger picture sentiment remains a cause for concern. Quote, "Since the asset class is currently highly correlated to the U.S. stock market, bearish macro developments can restrict the asset, that is Bitcoin, from repeating past performance," Bitfinex analyst said. Meanwhile, selling pressure on Bitcoin from miners, a key part of the Bitcoin ecosystem, hit three-year lows last week. Dwindling miner sales imply weaker selling pressure from those responsible for making coins and are generally viewed as bullish. But it's not just tokens. Stocks and bonds alongside cryptocurrencies have chalked up steep rallies in recent weeks. While the U.S. dollar has declined on hopes that the Federal Reserve will pause interest rate hikes in May and cut rates later this year. That viewpoint is in sharp contrast to what the Fed says it will do, which is to continue raising rates through this year and certainly not lower them at any point in this time period. The problem, of course, is that that plan of action assumes the U.S. hasn't and won't enter a recession, caused at least in part by the breakneck pace of historically aggressive monetary policy action spewing from the U.S. central bank for coming up on a year now. Alongside the flawed view that the labor market is strong, based almost entirely on looking at total number of jobs, which is high, versus the number of people who are working, which is low. Over the last year, we've seen the jobs market held up as really one of the only strong points in the overall macro picture, suggesting that the Fed can continue its breakneck pace without hurting the economy. But if you dig just a bit deeper, you'll find that the numbers of full-time jobs has largely stagnated compared to population growth, while at the same time, low-paying part-time work, people working more than one job, and the record numbers of people working more than one full-time job is the underlying reality. And that's not good, which means it's largely been ignored by mainstream voices. So, for traders trying to predict the central bank's moves later this year, it becomes one of those, who are you going to believe, the Fed or your lying eyes sorts of things. And many with cash on the line just don't seem willing to believe anymore. But I digress. The Fed is expected to lift its benchmark borrowing cost by 25 basis points to a new range of 4.5 to 4.75% later today. Most analysts expect Fed President Jerome Powell to push back against market expectations for rate cuts during today's press conference, which they hope will put renewed downward pressure on risk assets. We'll bring you more on this story tomorrow as we watch it play out together. Today's crypto coverage comes courtesy of CoinDesk Markets analysts Lila Ledesma, Sharia Mala, Will Canning, and Sam Reynolds. Bitcoin is currently trading at $23,087 per token. That's down 0.25% since our update yesterday, while Ether is trading at $1,581 per ETH. That's down 0.15% over the same time period, according to the CoinDesk Market Index. And speaking of the CoinDesk Market Index, like we told you up front, today's number is pretty similar to yesterday's, which was similar to the day before. We're looking at an absolute reading this morning of 1,083. That's down 2 points from 1,085 that we saw yesterday and represents just under a 0.2% decrease across top traded tokens on the day. Now, before we get to today's traditional markets update, let's take a quick look at some top headlines. Digging a bit deeper into some analyst predictions for the original cryptocurrency, the so-called Bitcoin HODL waves indicator, created by Unchained Capital and tracked by Glassnode, shows that the percent of unspent transaction outputs, better known as UTXO in the technical crowd, older than 5 years, has increased by 17% in the past 6 months. The HODL waves indicator tracks the UTXO age distribution. UTXOs are the amount of cryptocurrency someone has after executing a transaction. UTXOs are the little chunks of cryptocurrency that someone has after executing a transaction on a blockchain like Bitcoin. Every BTC transaction creates a new UTXO, at least one in fact. Its age indicates the block that it was first included in, and the last time that said Bitcoin was moved. So the latest sharp rise in the percentage of UTXOs older than 5 years indicates aging of unspent outputs, a sign of some investors maintaining their coin stashes during the market swoon. U.S. institutions have probably been behind January's rally in Bitcoin. An outperformance this early in the year tends to be bullish for the token's price, crypto service provider Matrixport said in a research report out this morning. The report argues that the driver of the 2023 bull market could be the expected March 2024 Bitcoin halving, when the amount of cryptocurrency entering the system every 10 minutes drops by a further 50%. So they say that there's a high statistical probability that the Bitcoin price could double from here until year end, according to their analysis. If they're right, that means that Bitcoin could reach a price of $45,000 by Christmas. But as always, take these predictions with a grain of salt. CoinDesk's Will Canning and Ankar Godbole have more on these stories. And now, here's Adrian Blust.
Thank you, Adam. Elsewhere, proposed UK laws to regulate crypto suggest the jurisdiction might overtake its rival, the European Union, in the race to govern the sector. A long-awaited consultation, originally promised before Christmas, was published this morning. It proposes a new authorization regime for any company operating from the UK or serving local clients, and has gained an immediate and largely positive reaction from the industry. Quote, "As the voice of the UK's crypto sector, we welcome this positive step towards greater regulatory clarity," said Ian Taylor, board advisor of lobby group Crypto UK. Continuing, "Given the provisions within the proposed legislation, consultation with the industry could not be more critical," end quote. International crypto exchange Binance also said it welcomed the plans. And relatedly, in India, however, the country is expected to maintain its more restrictive crypto tax rules from 2022 and 2023, while adding a potential fine or jail time for non-compliance to the provision around tax deducted at source, or TDS, according to three attorneys CoinDesk spoke to. The nation's finance minister did not explicitly mention crypto, virtual or digital assets, blockchain or central bank digital currencies on Wednesday while unveiling the nation's budget, which indicates the latest tax rules. But hidden in the fine print was a change to TDS rules, which affect virtual digital assets, or VDAs. Last year, the world's largest democracy instituted stiff taxes on crypto transactions, a 30% tax on profits and a 1% TDS on all transactions. The 1% TDS remains, but until now, no provision in the law imposed a penalty for failure to comply, if a citizen tried to evade paying the tax or made an incomplete payment, for example. This comes courtesy of CoinDesk's Jack Schickler, Kamimil Shumba, and Amitaj Singh.
Thanks very much for that, Adrian. Meanwhile, an attempt by defunct crypto trading firm Alameda Research to extract some $446 million it made in loan repayments to bankrupt Voyager Digital has been rejected by both the creditors' committee and Voyager itself, according to new court filings. Voyager creditors argued that Alameda's claim should either be equitably subordinated to all other creditor claims or recharacterized as equity itself. And in related news, Alameda's sister company, bankrupt crypto exchange FTX, has been revealed to hold around $1.4 billion in cash as of the end of last year, according to an interim financial update filed this morning. That figure is around 19% higher than the $1.2 billion reported in November when FTX filed for bankruptcy. So at least there's that. CoinDesk's Jamie Crowley and Sam Reynolds have more.
In other news, crypto-based over-collateralized stablecoin DJED, spelled DJED, has attracted over 27 million Cardano or ADA tokens as backing less than a day after launch, data shows. As of right now, DJED has a reserve ratio of nearly 600%, meaning each DJED stablecoin is backed by 6 times its value in ADA. At current prices, the ADA locked for issuing DJED is worth over $10 million. Although not unique to DJED, this over-collateralized mechanism would allow DJED's value to hold stably during market stress and prevent a repeat of Terra USD, the infamous stablecoin linked to Luna, which fell over 99% in May. CoinDesk's Shaoya Mella has the details.
And finally, Bitcoin mining services firm Luxor Technologies is starting what they say is the industry's first unified marketplace for new mining machines, so that buyers and sellers can directly connect through a request for quote system. The crypto mining market has been flooded with stock offloaded by struggling companies. So the marketplace comes when thousands of discounted machines have further overwhelmed an already inundated market. Last year, the industry did not have enough infrastructure to plug machines into and start bringing in revenue, so hundreds of thousands of machines went unused. As the bear market continued to hit the sector, miners started selling more and more machines, further depressing prices. The price of mining rigs has dropped a whopping 85% in the past year, data from Luxor shows. On the new platform, buyers and sellers can create requests for machines in an open bid system and directly negotiate prices. So if you're someone out there looking for deals on mining machines, that might be a good time to dig into that. CoinDesk's Eliza Gritzi has more on this one.
All right, and shifting to traditional markets, European stocks and U.S. futures ticked up today, with the Federal Reserve poised to lift borrowing costs by a quarter percentage point, in what would be the smallest interest rate increase since last March. In the U.S., almost universally, major stocks ticked up by at least 1% since yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed up 1.1%, while the S&P 500 climbed to 1.2%. The tech-heavy NASDAQ saw the largest gain, up just under 1.3% over the same time period. In Europe, major indices were trading in the green today. The regional Stoxx 600 gained just over 0.4%, while London's FTSE 100 gained just over 0.5%. Germany's DAX gained the most, ticking up 0.8%. And continuing to the east, the trend continued with major stocks trading up. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index was the biggest gainer, ticking up 1%, while mainland China's Shanghai Composite Index trailed closely behind it, gaining 0.9%. Japan's Nikkei 225 traded relatively flat. And lastly, in commodities markets, Brent crude, the global benchmark for oil, gained 1.2%, trading at $85.64 per barrel. Gold, meanwhile, ticked up just over 0.3%, trading at $1,943 per troy ounce. Today's traditional market coverage draws from the FT and MarketWatch.
Thanks very much for that, Adrian. Stay tuned for After the Break. We'll take a look at the varied facets of trustlessness with Noel Acheson. We'll be right back.
Join CoinDesk's Consensus 2023, the most important conversation in crypto and Web3, happening April 26th through 28th in Austin, Texas. Consensus is the industry's only event bringing together all sides of crypto, Web3, and the metaverse. Immerse yourself in all that blockchain technology has to offer creators, builders, founders, brand leaders, entrepreneurs, and more. Use code MARKETSDAILY to get 15% off your pass. Visit consensus.coindesk.com or check the link in the show notes.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today's featured stories and opinion piece from Noel Acheson, former head of research at CoinDesk and Genesis Trading, and author of the Crypto is Macro Now newsletter. Our piece today is entitled Code versus Values, the Crypto Twist on Trust. We hear the term trustless thrown around a lot in crypto, and many are confused by its implications. It is a vague term with several potential meanings, depending on the context. Directionless means without direction. So trustless must mean without trust, right? Surely an absence of trust, though, is bad. It turns out that trustless is yet another term that the crypto ecosystem has appropriated and imbued with an altered definition to refer to the lack of the need for trust. In traditional finance, we trust our banks to make our payments and safeguard our deposits, and we trust our brokers to execute our buy and sell orders. In crypto, at least in theory, we don't need to trust any third parties. We can directly transact peer-to-peer, leaving the code to handle the balance adjustments and verify on-chain that all is in order. At least that's true in theory. Peeling away layers, we still have to trust the blockchain as well as the interface we use. We even have to trust the miners and/or the validators maintaining the network. And in buying our crypto assets from a centralized exchange or storing it with a centralized custodian, we're trusting a middleman to handle our funds fairly. Unfortunately, not always the case, though, as we've seen. If we use a decentralized application, we trust the code has no bugs, which is also not always the case. Like the air we breathe, our lives are fueled by trust, even in trustless systems. Our society doesn't work without it, and nor will it, no matter how decentralized we get. Trust is why contracts work, empires fall, and people seek community. It's also why the annual Edelman Trust Barometer, published every January, makes such compelling reading. Since 2000, it's been documenting the decline of trust in our society by canvassing 32,000 people across 28 countries. They do that to gauge attitudes towards the institutions that shape the framework of our lives. This year, the main theme is growing polarization, with respondents in the United States, Argentina, Spain, and others overwhelmingly checking the extremely divided and no solution in sight box. One of the principal drivers of this shift is the declining trust in government, seen as unethical and incompetent, and the media, seen as biased and misleading. Business comes across as the only trusted pillar of our society. This year's report highlights the growing expectations the public has of CEOs. A resounding 89% of respondents expect them to take more of a stand on the treatment of employees, 82% on climate change, and 80% on discrimination. Rather than offer relief that at least one key group of institutions is still trusted, this raises many concerns. What is the purpose of business? To make profits for investors or to advocate for certain values? How political should business become? And to what extent could this hurt its growth potential? The shift in expectations resurfaces something that I touched on earlier. We can't suppress the need for trust in our lives, and when it's damaged in one area, we look for compensation in another. But expecting businesses to step into the role of societal governance and dissemination of truth could end up distorting markets. Which brings us to crypto. An easy assumption is that crypto runs on cold code rather than warm people, and therefore delivers a purer market experience, so-called. And this may be the case. No corporate decisions impacting earnings potential, leaving investors to focus on design choices, but code, especially in crypto, does embody values. Satoshi didn't create Bitcoin to fill a void in the world's trust map. He, or she, or they, but I'll use he for convenience, created Bitcoin to fill a void in his trust map, expecting that other like-minded individuals would find it interesting. Bitcoin has no leaders to shape it into what the market wants, nor a marketing department to help identify what it is. Bitcoin didn't go looking for users. Its ecosystem spontaneously emerged among people who value what its code can do, and has grown as more and more people question established market and money orthodoxies. An often misunderstood premise of Bitcoin and similar crypto networks is that their code written to perform a function that makes them a tool, and tools have many uses, good and bad. Bitcoin, for example, may have been created with certain values in mind, but that doesn't stop it from being used by those who don't share those values. This matters for investor expectations. Investing in crypto is akin to investing in tools, which makes crypto much more like a commodity market driven by supply and demand than a securities market driven by a corporate strategy and soft goals. Yet, unlike commodities, crypto assets also embody certain characteristics that put them in the path of the values investing crowd, which the Edelman study showed is even larger than most of us realized. No one has ever accused copper of having values. It also matters in terms of regulatory assessment, surfacing a heated debate with which many in crypto are all too familiar. Should you regulate a tool or only its uses? Knives can make food easier to eat and they can kill, yet no politician is advocating for the regulation of knife sales, at least in the United States. However, Bitcoin, to choose an obvious example, was born with embedded anti-regulation sentiment. And that warrants some concern on the part of those who see their influence waning. All of this highlights just how new crypto concepts still are, and how we've barely scratched the surface in terms of their impact on the way we see concepts such as markets, regulation, and trust. It's about so much more than understanding algorithms, data structures, securities law, or economic incentives. But it is worth questioning our trust in a report about trust, especially when a PR firm that caters to corporations tells us that corporations are more trusted than other areas of our societal framework. Whether the report's conclusion is biased or not, probing neatly packaged narratives is a healthy exercise. And perhaps this is the ultimate utility of the crypto ecosystem. While it continues to test use cases and expand into new market segments, it's given us more than a means to route around selective barriers and a window into a new economic hierarchy. It's also given us a lens through which to question established conventions. As the Edelman Report suggests, values and trust are important. It just may turn out, however, that we don't understand them as well as we thought, and that the new tools in the philosophical box will nudge us to think about what they mean for us as individuals and communities. And that could, in turn, lead to a deeper awareness of just how these fundamental concepts can shape the next generation of markets and transactions, and what that means for our connections with each other. And that's our show for today. Thank you very much for listening. Before we end episode 1000 of Markets Daily, a few brief thoughts from myself. When I joined CoinDesk to build their podcast network in the fall of 2019, Markets Daily was one of the first shows that I got to work on. Initially working with then senior markets reporter, now managing editor Brad Cowan, we started to build the show in the depths of the last bear market. It was the sort of show I had never seen done before, one which updated on markets, talked about prices and trends, but studiously avoided the hype that typically surrounds these assets, instead taking a more old-school approach of just delivering the news and performing the role of a filter for those who don't have time to sift through everything to find the good stuff. Over the next 2 years, I'd recruit a number of other co-hosts, including John Biggs, one of my mentors, and Lila Ledesma, who I first recruited as an intern and who's now one of the leading markets reporters here at CoinDesk. We'd try out a number of different formats, have some fun experimenting, and just generally took our time figuring things out. While we were doing that, crypto winter turned to spring, and the show started to grow rapidly to become one of the larger efforts at CoinDesk, which would, in the years that would follow, find itself routinely in Apple's top 10 for technology news. But things always change, and as Lila moved into her reporter role, Adrian approached me cold through unusual channels. He wanted to help. I gave him a script and asked him to show me what he could do on his own. 2 weeks later, he joined the show, first as an intern, then as a producer, and these days he largely runs things. That's because although I do continue to do Markets Daily for CoinDesk, after more than 10 years of my full-time focus on crypto, I had become enamored with early versions of image and text-generating artificial intelligence, which you probably recognize today as ChatGPT, and creative platforms like DALL-E 2 and Midjourney got its start many years ago. And while I still believe that crypto, particularly Bitcoin, likely has a role to play in our evolving world, what's happening in creative artificial intelligence is, in my view, likely to be more disruptive than anything we've seen in the modern era, potentially even more disruptive than crypto. We live in a world that is changing rapidly. We're at the end of one era, with those in power holding onto that privilege more tightly than ever, and in front of us we see the dawn of a new age. Although it has not come yet, if history is any guide, there will be an opportunity, a brief moment, when the course of the next generation or more is set in motion. And over the years, I've come to believe that it's through the power of disruptive technologies and the opportunity that comes with them to rethink how our world works that we'll find a path out. And that path out has to do with power. Who has it, what it can be used for, and who gets to decide all of those things. And that's where cryptocurrency, and especially Bitcoin, may prove to be important. And so, this show might seem like it's about money, it might seem like it's about technology, but it's really not. It's about that brief future moment of opportunity. That moment where the question of power is decided. I've always been a believer that people, individuals, make the best choices for themselves based on the options and information that they have in front of them. Given no option, even a poor option will do. What choice do you have? This is why competition is so vitally important. Competition means more options, which means better choices. There are many areas of life where we can see this in action. Competition improves the quality of products, brings down prices, and gives cause to the technological advances that will be built on by the next generation. But money is an area where, for more than 100 years, no competition has been allowed, where no options are tolerated. Because options mean that the people in power have to effectively argue their case, explaining why their preferred path, the one where they keep and grow their privilege, is the right one for all of us who don't have those advantages. And so Bitcoin represents a form of unstoppable competition. And merely by existing, it begs the question, Would we rather trust the people whose leadership has led us to this catastrophic state of affairs that we see around the world today, which has itself been enabled by their unchallenged control of money? Or would we rather trust nobody but transparent, boring, predictable code instead? It's a hypothetical now, but someday, within our lifetimes, there will be that moment where this will be the most important question in the world. I know what I think. What about you? Thanks for listening. This episode was produced and edited, including the theme music, by Adrian Blust. And if you like what we do, you can leave us a review on your favorite podcast player. Also, check out the bonus episode today. It's a special dance remix of the Markets Daily theme, courtesy of Adrian Blust. Until next time, I'm Adam B. Levine.